Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party, .us.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Coming. Our storm. And when it arrives, it will shake the universe.
Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you November 29th, 2020. It is almost December. It is almost the last month of 2020. And I know a lot of you out there might be looking forward to getting this nightmarish year over with, but unfortunately, everybody, it doesn't look like 2021 is going to be all that much better, at least if our overlords have anything to say about that. And at the current time, they really are calling the shots, so it's really up to us to make sure that 2021 does not suck as much as 2020 has. And the year's not even over yet, everyone. They, I'm sure, have plenty more surprises in store for us. A lot more draconian measures, a lot more lies about numbers, and a lot more promotion of this coming vaccine, and how it's our duty to get injected for the safety of our fellow man. So, I have not actually been paying a whole lot of attention to any of this this weekend. I have to do a little bit in order to keep RenegadeTribune.com updated, but honestly, it's just tiresome. It really gets to be quite tiresome going and just looking at what's coming next, what they're talking about these days. And it was good to have a little bit of a break. Well, this weekend, we've been keeping you updated about, you know, the little projects that we've been working on. So I'll let you know what we did this weekend, or at least what I did. Sinead had a lot of interesting things she was working on. She made Madeleines today. Worked with some little exotic mushrooms for dinner. Some good stuff. Exotic to me. Portobello and just the regular white mushrooms. Those are pretty much, you know, the standards for that I know about. Anyway, I built a bookshelf yesterday, a wall-mounted bookshelf to put some of our books in. That was nice. Nice little project. Made an apple pie this morning. That was good. There's a good crust that doesn't require butter or oil that is really pretty good. It involves almond flour, a little bit of white rice flour, a little bit of tapioca starch, some water and sugar. I'm pretty sure that's all that went into it. It's a good crust. It's really hard to find any kind of pie crust recipes that don't involve oil. And this is a good one. So I made a good apple pie. We had a bunch of apples sitting around. I usually do an apple cobbler, but this time went with a pie. I'm also a fan of the apple crisp as well. And then for 5 or 6 hours, probably about 5 this afternoon, just power washing the eaves, power washing the driveway. It's actually just pretty nice to be outside in the sun. I don't like power washing all that much. I prefer building rather than cleaning and maintaining and fixing. I'd rather create and, you know. But you have to keep things maintained. You have to continuously clean. We know that. So let's start cleaning out the anti-whites here. Let's talk about what was going on this past week with the anti-whiteness during Thanksgiving. Not sure if you saw this. I'm guessing you did, but there was a big push just to delegitimize Thanksgiving. First off, you had all of the health officials, the CDC, and all the rest of those lying pieces of garbage telling you that it's unsafe to actually have Thanksgiving. And they were in different states telling you to rat on your neighbors if it looked like they were having a number of people over for dinner, if they were not abiding by safe practices as determined by these tyrants, then you need to snitch on them. Yes, they need to be eating outside. Doesn't matter what the temperatures, eat outside, 6 feet apart, and wear masks. This is how you are supposed to celebrate, if you're going to celebrate at all. And in addition to all of that, we had organizations, media organizations, really push hard against Thanksgiving because it's just such a white supremacist type of holiday. Yes, we had YouTube in particular come out with this un-Thanksgiving campaign, which was trying to get people not to celebrate Thanksgiving, or at least to recognize just how unfair it all is to the indigenous, to the Indians. Let's see the tweets they had here. Un-Thanksgiving is about acknowledging, educating, and honoring centuries of indigenous resistance. Coinciding with New England's National Day of Mourning, Un-Thanksgiving activates Alcatraz Island, the site of a 19-month occupation by Bay Area natives in 1969. Yeah, 19 months out in Alcatraz. If the government really wanted to end that occupation, they easily could. But all of these protests against the white establishment really are exactly what the ruling powers want to see. The kosher elite, if you will. They also had another tweet here to follow up on it. Un-Thanksgiving is about honoring Native American and Indigenous heritage to better understand this history. How are you connected to and connecting with Indigenous heritage and history where you live? I remember back when I was in elementary school, we'd do the Pilgrims and Indians. We'd dress up like them. You know, honestly, it was not in any way trying to belittle the Indians. A lot of people found it fun to play as the Indians. We'd play cowboys and Indians. It wasn't always the Indians lost. In fact, our culture, I think, does honor the Indians, the indigenous. They're not even indigenous, because before them there were the Salutrians, and they genocided them. They genocided the white people who were here first. Anyway, the culture honors them as great warriors. Now, I know that there has been a back-and-forth history going back quite some time, and this is not one-sided. It's not just that the white man's government oppressed the Indians. There were many broken treaties. The government did not uphold their end of the bargain. And it's not just that the Indians were complete ruthless savages. Many were, but it's not just that cut and dry. There really are nuances to history, and I think that a lot of people can recognize that the Indians fought pretty hard on numerous occasions to hold on to what was theirs. And that's respectable. We can learn a lot from that. They did not always tolerate diversity. But Thanksgiving is a holiday that was supposed to be about kind of burying the hatchet, or at least working together, different people working together to help each other survive. Because this is the story about the Wampanoag up in Massachusetts, who helped the pilgrims to survive in this new world in the few harsh winters where they just did not know how to grow crops properly. The crops they had brought, or the seeds they had brought from the old world, which were not surviving well. So you had some Indians of the Wampanoag tribe teaching the white man different techniques, burying fish next to the crops to help fertilize it, and all sorts of different things, and showing them different crops that did grow well. And this eventually became a strategic partnership, because the Wampanoag had enemy tribes that they had to deal with, and they saw the white man as allies. And this is what you see throughout American history, with the French and Indian War, for example, with different Indian tribes siding with different white men in that conflict. You see that in that completely falsified history, and the kind of dances with wolves narrative of The Last of the Mohicans, which, although it's a bunch of BS, just like the book, it was a pretty good movie. You know, it's anti-white garbage, but at least they were putting out decent films once upon a time. And it does show at least some of the Indians as being just absolute savages. And I actually have an ancestor who was kidnapped by Indians, had at least two of her children murdered, and was going to be completely enslaved. But as they were taking her away, she managed to escape with her baby, fled and hid in the woods, and was just narrowly escaped capture again, and arrived back at one of their settlements with just thorns everywhere in her feet, just torn up, but she survived. Yes, that was, I forget her name, but I learned about that actually from a pretty young age. And from a pretty young age, I also recognize that I do appreciate the white man's way of life. Not everything about it, but the life of an Indian does not really suit me. But what has happened is that white people are so bereft of any kind of natural spirituality, any kind of natural yearning for connecting with this world, because of the Christianity, which is so anti-nature, that is imposed upon us, that they, especially in America, will look to the Indians as just the example of what it means to be in tune with nature, what it means to be one with the land. So they look to this people that is not their own, instead of looking back in time to their own ancestors and how they lived and how they thought before this Jewish plague of Christianity came over us. So anyway, this narrative about the glorious Indians who never did anything wrong except for all the scalping, torturing, murdering, enslaving, etc., right? And absolute just the different attacks that they had upon, you know, what were they? I'd say they're refugees. They were seeking asylum. These pioneers were religious refugees in this new world. And the Indians just did not embrace multiculturalism. Those bastards. Isn't it just so funny, though, that is great and heroic when Indians are trying to fight off people who want to come and live on their land? That's great, heroic. But when white people say, hey, Maybe we could stop flooding the country so much. You racist, bigot Nazis! How dare you say that this is your land? You took it from the Indians. Like, well, hold up. Well, then, why are you flooding the Indians' land, too? Okay, if it supposedly belongs to the Indians, shouldn't they have a say on whether or not they want all these hordes of Africans or whatever flooding into the country? Mexicans? Should we consult them? Yeah, YouTube had a bit of backlash about the un-Thanksgiving that they were putting forth. Oh, and the GIF that they had, that they tweeted out here, has a big purple fist. Of course, communism. On our Native American heritage is what it says here. And I saw that there were a bunch of news stories. I picked this up in my feed about how the Wampanoag of Mashpee are so oppressed and that they're really fighting so hard for recognition these days. And this is another one of the white guilt stories concerning Thanksgiving that I saw all over the place. I saw in Al Jazeera. I saw it in Time.
So hard getting to live on free land and have everything paid for and not having to pay taxes. It's just so hard.
So Sinead has joined us.
I'm here.
So I actually spent many years in Mashpee. That's where I went to high school. I knew a lot of these Wampanoags. I went to school. I was friends with them. They did get special privileges. We as white men could not light fires on beaches. You know, we'd have a little party. No, you can't do that. You can't light fires wherever you want. But if you're a native,
you've got that priv.
You can't just go catch a bunch of quahogs. You don't really catch them because they're not moving. You know, they're kind of like clams, right?
Oh, okay.
Quahogs. Shellfish. You can't just go catch them and go sell them or whatever without a permit. But if you're an Indian, go for it. You know, yeah. You can't just set up camp. But Indian, go for it. And I worked with some of them, too, when I was a waiter at a restaurant. And it was a bunch of Indians in the kitchen. And the whole staff out front was pretty much white. It was interfacing with the pretty wealthy clientele. Because the Indians in the kitchen were a little rough around the edges, and they were these big, big Indian women were very
obesity and alcoholism is a huge problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I went to school with the Sandia Amerindians when I was out in New Mexico, and they would get to go to the school that I was, which was a private school. They would get to go for free.
Yeah,
you know, like my parents had to pay for it, but they could go for free. They got like free transportation. They would get scholarships, but there was a huge problem with alcoholism. They cannot handle alcohol. Like, I don't think it's just an addiction problem. I think their biology can't process alcohol. And so there would be so many stories of them driving down the highway the wrong way and killing entire families.
Oh.
Like, constantly that was happening.
This happened all the time.
Firewater.
Yeah.
They can't handle it.
In Mashpee. And I think it has to do with the same kind of mechanism that allows for Europeans to tolerate dairy a little bit better. It's been with Europeans for so long.
Yeah.
Booze has been a part of our culture for thousands of years.
Yeah. Even just like medicinally using alcohol in the form of tinctures and things like that.
So we're used to it over all these years. We can handle it. We've somehow developed.
Well, some people can't.
We're Irish. We can. Yes.
But it's
true. For sure.
Yeah.
But I'd see some of these people get wild. They'd get wild on the firewater.
Oh, yeah.
And they were able to have cultural celebrations that were all their own. For example, they would allow us white men and whoever to attend their powwows. I don't know about, all the ceremonies. If it was, it was a very small amount.
But still,
Well, so they would also want to be selling their wares.
Yeah.
But for certain events, it was only Indians that are allowed to participate. Yeah. Of course, it's their tribe, and
right.
I'm fine with that.
Why would I care?
I just wish we could have that ourselves.
For us, it's the double standard that I don't like.
The craziest game, and one of my friends burned his hand so badly, and he was a waiter at the time, that he couldn't wait tables for, I don't know, a week or two. It's called Fireball. So they
that sounds like a really great they name soak, to mix with drinking.
They soak this ball, and I think it's wrapped in chicken wire and has all these rags. It's soaked in kerosene for like half a year or something. What? And then they light it on fire, and it's kind of a mix of rugby and soccer. So you could pick it up and run with it and throw it and everything. You could kick it and try to score goals.
That sounds really dumb.
It was kind of fun to watch. But
just sounds really stupid.
Yeah. But it was it's so, so interesting to see that this anti-white narrative that was really big in the mainstream Jewish news, including Al Jazeera, this past week was centered around Mashpee.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that was one of the things that one of the reporters back when the White Man March was going on, he brought up, saying, so how can you be so against, you know, diversity when you went to school in Mashpee and, you know, the Wampanoags? I'm like, well, they're a testament to it. They're a testament to if you allow for others to come onto your lands, that eventually you'll be pushed to the fringes and you'll be...
Yeah, I just hate using that argument, though. Because then it makes it sound like, yeah, well, we genocided them, so we shouldn't be genocided.
So, but what I'm saying is that these people argue that, well, how can you be against multiculturalism when, you know, you see what happened with the Indians?
Yeah.
So, well, multiculturalism didn't work for them. Well, they don't want multiculturalism. They want us gone.
And it's not like they're putting us on reservations and, like, giving us housing.
No, they're certainly
not. We're
not
getting to open casinos and, like, concert venues. No.
What was the Aryan Reservation, I think it was called, that commercial?
Yeah.
Some Jews probably made where they had an Aryan man running around free and then copulating
he was tracked, though.
Yeah, he was naked, yeah. And then they were just all celebrating as he was copulating with, like, the last Aryan female.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cute. But, yeah, we don't get the privilege of having little lands that are owned. We do not have the privilege to have our own little reservations. I don't want reservations, but I'm saying we don't even have a place we can all go and live amongst our own, live the way we want to live, and usually live tax-free. Yeah. Honestly, they're not always living high in the hog unless they're part of the casino racket. They're not always living too great, but they do get huge amounts of privileges.
There are white people that are not living great, and they don't get their stuff paid for.
Mm-hmm. The women who worked in the kitchen at that restaurant I was talking about, they would tell me, I'd ask, you know, so what do you do when this restaurant's not open? Because it's only open, you know, for the summer, and then a little bit in the fall, a little bit in the spring. They said, I collect government checks. Like, oh.
That's so nice. That's great.
Oh, wow. So you work 3 months out of the year. Okay.
Must
cool.
Must be really hard. So hard.
And they were so mean to this white girl who worked there. She was maybe a year or two older than me. They were just so brutal to her. They were nice to me, but they didn't like her because she was, you know, thin and attractive and white.
Yeah.
Nope. they were so mean. And what I was talking about before you got here was the history was not as one-sided as they want to make it seem.
No.
Where it was
even
just,
these Amerindians, they know. It was a lot of them know that this whole anti-white shit is bullshit.
And there was a brutal war that was going on.
Yeah, it's not like
on
they
both
were
sides.
So peaceful and innocent. Like, they were scalping people.
And what's so ridiculous, though, is that we have a culture that honors them as warriors with these different mascots and everything. Yeah, there's one, the Cleveland Indians. You remember how they portrayed the Indians kind of like a goofy, smiling thing? That's not necessarily...
Oh, terrible.
But what I'm saying, for the most part, when it is Indian mascots, like the Washington Redskins or whatever, they're honoring them by having this this kind of symbol as somebody to look up to or emulate and say, wow, you know, we're... It's not like you choose weak, defeated things
or stupid things.
Stupid things, right. You're
not like the Cleveland retards.
Dirt.
The Denver Down syndromes.
And white people don't get offended by having the Minnesota Vikings or anything saying,
no.
Oh, don't, you can't use that, or the Fighting Irish. Right. That does not represent me. It's just such bullshit that everything these days is just used as an anti-white battering ram to just break down our defenses and finish us off with their genocidal agenda.
Even just, like, commercials, whenever I see actual TV, it's pretty much never, except for when I sometimes catch the UFC fights, but looking at the commercials, There are, okay, it went from, you know, making fun of white people in the commercials to now, like, there just are no white people in the commercials unless it's a white man with a black woman or a white woman with a non-white man.
Or a white man with any other kind of man.
So, right, like a homo couple.
A fudgepacker.
Yeah. Or just, like, looking like a fat idiot.
Yeah.
But all these iconic, you know, like, Christmas camping-type commercials have, you know, black people, like, camping and going to bonfires and hanging up Christmas lights. When is the last time you ever saw a black father hanging up
on the roof?
Christmas
When's the last
lights?
Time you saw a black father?
Well, exactly. That's what you said. You're like, that's because they don't have any fathers. And if they do, I highly doubt they're taking the time to go get the ladder out. Do they even own a ladder? Do they even know how to fix things in the house? I don't know. But it's
maybe
just
a few.
Maybe a few.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay. And it's just everywhere. In Great Britain, especially, where it's still, 87% white?
They've just written them out of all the commercials.
Yep. And then we were watching a Canadian stream.
Yeah. So we get to catch the Canadian commercials.
Oh, my God.
It was even worse, honestly.
It was insane. There was one about, you know,
Canadian to the core.
Canadian to the core. And it was about these Canadians who are behind this product or whatever.
I don't think they have. Maybe they flashed.
There was one white woman briefly.
They flashed for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And the rest were like Indians, Asians, black women.
Especially black people, though.
Core.
Especially black people. Yeah. I'd say about at least 3/4 of the ads were featuring black people.
Yeah. You'd think that like they're the majority in these countries. You really
would think so if you just watch the TV.
Yeah. I mean, they're not yet, but it's insane. They just want to write us out of existence. And even people that aren't aware of the genocide agenda, I'm sure they're picking up on this. And even if they're not picking up on it consciously, subconsciously, their brain is saying, like, you don't belong here anymore. You don't exist. You don't have a place here. Look, you're not represented. You don't belong here. And that's why a lot of people are committing suicide. Not just the genocide, the genocidal propaganda, but just the lockdowns and all of this torture. It's psychological torture and physical torture.
Yeah.
It's torture.
It all fits within psychological warfare. The commercials that are taking place, the masks that are in all the commercials.
Sensory deprivation. That's what, like, one of the uses of the mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously just a muzzle as well. It's, you know, depleting oxygen.
I bet you can't smell things as easily behind
the
mask.
No, you're not
going
to get pheromones. You're not going to, like, smell is a really important part of our sensory system.
Maybe that's why they're able to get so many white guys with black females in these commercials. You just can't have them have their proper smell.
You don't smell the pheromones.
There is a distinct smell, and I don't think it just has to do with what they're eating.
Like the grease, the hair grease.
Yeah, I don't think it's just that.
Yeah.
You know, do you know Homo erectus? I'm sure you've heard of Homo erectus. Have you actually looked into
Homo erectus?
No, but have you looked into this, like, the skull shape of Homo erectus?
No, is it like an African?
Yeah, I was looking into this, and it really, the skull shape, I think Africans are Homo erectus, or at least closely related to them.
That big jaw.
The protruding jaw. Look at this diagram where it says projecting jaw down here. That's an African jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And the big kind of brow, thick brow ridge.
Yeah,
Very similar. I honestly don't think we're the same species. Or,
no, I don't think.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you look at nature.
Dog breeds.
Or just
species. Okay, let's say not even.
There are different species of wolf or different species of finch, and they look exactly alike to us.
Yeah.
And then you show a black person and a white person, you say, "Oh, but those are the same species." Just because you can produce viable offspring does not mean that something is the same species.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, with Rh negative white people, you're not going to be able to produce viable offspring for the most part, unless you get certain kinds of procedures done.
Wait, what?
Rh negative people breeding with Rh positive, let's say Africans or whatever. I'm saying is you actually cannot produce offspring. Rh negative have a harder time producing offspring with Rh positive people, and for the most part, Rh negative is centered within the white race.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're never going to find.
We're both Rh negative, so I guess that's why.
We didn't have any problems. Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know it had to do with the different races.
Yeah, Rh negative is definitely something associated with the white race, especially.
No, but I didn't know with breeding with other races that it, like. Or just any Rh positive person.
any Rh positive, but it, you know.
I don't know. I feel like that happens all the time. Like, that. What? Are we sure about that? Because Rh positive and Rh negative people have babies all the time.
Okay, so.
I think it's they try to scare them with the Rogaine.
Yeah, that's part of it. An Rh positive person can have the recessive Rh negative gene as well.
Because my parents aren't Rh negative, but I am.
Right, so what I'm saying is, you know, an Rh positive man could produce an Rh negative child with an Rh negative woman.
Okay. I understand now.
Yeah. But anyway, this look into Homo erectus got me somehow looking at the Negroid Wikipedia page. This
that's so funny that they have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, it's insane.
And a racist term.
Let me read this to you. This is the first two paragraphs. It's ridiculous. Negroid, less commonly called Congoid, is an outdated historical grouping of various people indigenous to Africa, south of the area which stretched from the southern Sahara Desert in the west to the African Great Lakes in the southeast, but also to isolated parts of South and Southeast Asia.
Then what are they supposed to be called if that's outdated?
Well, let's just talk about how race is outdated, okay? The concept of dividing humankind into three races called Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid, originally named Ethiopian, was introduced in the 1780s by members of the Göttingen School of History and further developed by Western scholars in the context of racist ideologies during the age of colonialism. We group every living thing into different classifications.
Yeah.
Kingdoms and
there's no such thing as race, but white people need to go.
With the rise of modern genetics, the concept of distinct human races in a biological sense has become obsolete. In 2019, the American Association of Physical Anthropologists stated, "The belief in races as natural aspects of human biology and the structures of inequality, racism, that emerge from such beliefs are among the most damaging elements in the human experience both today and in the past." So, Franz Boas's ridiculous, retarded Jewish theories about human races are now what is the mainstream, commonly accepted idea.
Insane.
That races don't exist.
Yep.
Because science. Science.
Don't notice these differences. Ignore them.
They're so obvious.
Yeah.
The protruding jaw is just such a clear example that we are so different. It's not just skin color. It's not just the pigmentation in your skin.
It's even just our entire makeup.
The way we think.
Think about how we mature slower. Like, you know, you could see like a 13-year-old black child and be like, that's a 25-year-old man. You know, like they just seem to physically mature a lot faster. I don't mean really the females. It's more like the musculature of the males.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely different, and that really provides some interesting, enriching opportunities for white children at schools. When you've got somebody in your grade, or maybe actually he's a little bit older than you because he failed one of his grades, had to do it over again.
18.
Yeah, he's got a big mustache. You're still, you know, like a foot shorter. That's great. God. But we got some good people standing up for us in America.
Oh, isn't it tomorrow? The big event?
Well, there was a Phoenix rally. I think this was yesterday, but there was something going on today and also tomorrow with Nick Fuentes. We've been following this for the past couple of weeks.
That Ralph guy.
Ethan Ralph is out there, yeah.
Left his pregnant wife, girlfriend, whatever, you know, alone to go off to this with some other, like, Jewish girl.
So, you know what's just awesome?
Are they throwing up commie fists?
Okay, so Nick Fuentes is throwing up a commie fist at the Stop the Steal in Phoenix, and the guy next to him is holding up a crucifix.
Yes, that's so based.
That is.
America first. Yes, we want the most Jewish president ever. America first.
So, you know who else was there? Vincent James of the Red Elephants. Vincent was there.
Okay. He gave a speech. Baked?
That is Baked Alaska.
Why is he always wearing like ski goggles? What's it with him and John Menadeo with like the really over the top gaudy glasses?
They're clowns. This is a clown world.
They really are.
Andrew Anglin was very upset that Vincent James was wearing shorts.
Why? Is that just disrespectful?
Oh, yeah, he's all about tight-fitting pants on activists.
Oh,
He does look ridiculous in the khaki shorts and then the camo hoodie.
Yeah.
With his red hat that he always wears. These people are retarded.
Yeah, I hate them.
But Anglin is just celebrating his plan coming together.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
He says that Nick Fuentes is at the center of the America First movement, which is supported by 74 million Trump voters.
Oh, God. America First. I mean, just the absolute idiocy. I mean, Trump, the most pro-Israel president ever.
Oh, and I love how during the last days of his administration, seemingly, unless something happens.
I'm sure something will.
And did come out and make a statement and said that the FBI is the one that helps steal the election. That just came
so
out today.
Edgy.
But
calling
so
them out.
With his last days, Jonathan Pollard has the Justice Department release him so he can go back to Israel. That was the Israeli spy.
Yep. Thanks,
who
Trump.
Who was originally released at the end of Obama's administration, but he was still on parole, and then the Justice Department said, he's a free man.
Yeah.
But all throughout Trump's administration, pardoning all sorts of people, Shalom Rabashkin just one name. Then there was the guy who was selling all of the Jew who was selling all of the
research chemicals.
Yeah, down in Florida.
Yep.
Right? So there have been so many pro-Jewish things that he's done, especially pro-Israeli things
just
that he's done.
Just the audacity to call it an America First movement, and these these idiots that are like, yeah, Nick Fuentes! He's such an alpha!
Well, and what also is happening during the last days of the Trump administration is an escalating potential war with Iran.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, seemed like it could be at the doorstep when he had that missile strike against Soleimani, right, the general from Iran. But just the other day, it looks like Israel assassinated one of their nuclear scientists, and of course Trump would be giving the go-ahead for this. Mm-hmm. They're not coming out and saying,
well, remember I told you I knew about someone who said they were being deployed to Syria as well. Since when do we have troops on the ground there?
Well,
and it was combat. It wasn't just...
There have been U.S. troops on the ground, officially,
in combat
since...
scenarios in Syria?
A limited amount.
I never hear about that.
I think somewhere in about 2018, there was just a little bit of talk about it. It was never, you know, we're expanding war into another country. They tried to make it seem like it was more logistical, like they'd just be training different forces.
Combat.
I.e. Al-Qaeda and ISIS and whatever. Yeah. No, but we're fighting ISIS. It's just so ridiculous how
it's such a joke.
They did the shifting alliances.
Yeah.
It's just like 1984, where Oceania was always at war with Eurasia.
Yeah.
Even though they were just allies two minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Baked Alaska actually sang a song there.
Can we play it? Was it, I love the military law enforcement. We love
it. I don't think it was that one.
We love our boys in blue. Where's the song? I want to hear it. Well, it's not as good as Richard Spencer's karaoke. We played that the other night. We're just laughing so hard.
Yeah, that was
singing
Depeche Mode. Enjoy the silence.
Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's great, though.
Yeah, there was there's another really cringy thing that I was thinking about recently. But anyway. Oh,
there's no lack of cringe.
The Ralph retort had streamed out the whole thing. I don't know where we could find the
song. Okay, we'll have to skim through it later and find it.
You know what I was thinking about?
What?
Was the musical performance at the Milo event.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I forgot about that. We were watching that the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, there was it was like the Maduk, Maduk, Maduk.
Yeah. So he had some Jewish-looking rapper up at one of these colleges.
When Milo did his little tour, like his little gay tour.
The Dangerous Faggot Tour.
Dangerous Faggot Tour to all these universities. It was an auditorium of mostly white people.
And conservative.
And he brings in this guy that was just like the most degenerate, disgusting little Jew talking about like, my dick and blah, and just all these like disgusting things. And it was like over the top. It
like
wasn't even trying to be good. It was just the Jews laughing in our faces.
Yeah.
And the people sat there and like allowed it to happen. And they were confused.
Gave a little clap at the end.
But they were just like, okay, you know. But they should have like got up, punched that kid in the face, like taken the mic away. They're at a Milo event to begin with.
The song before that was by something someone Gold and somebody else, and it was...
Milo, My Love?
Yeah, that was the song.
Yeah.
So these were his opening acts before he came on stage.
Yeah.
You gotta sit through my Jewish friends here as they sing about their dicks and about their love for me.
That was at colleges. You've got colleges teaching, like, oh, we gotta protect, you know, each other from the hate out there. You've got this, oh my God.
But he's the hater.
Allow Milo to come. Oh yeah, he's so
They
dangerous.
Were having massive protests, left-wing protests against the dangerous faggot.
It's hilarious.
Because he was speaking up for white people.
Yeah, right.
His fellow white people.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many children that fag's abused.
I wonder.
Yeah.
So we have somebody who looks like an absolute psycho who pretends to...
Jason Cohen.
Yeah, Cohen. Pretends Jason to stand Cohen. Up for white people.
He has the Jeffrey Epstein Joker smile face. Like, and so does Emily Pukas. I don't know what it is. It's probably just their deranged genetics. Like, the corners of their mouth go out farther than normal people's mouths do. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's like the Cheshire Cat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Their genetic deformities, I think.
So just this morning, I posted this video that Judaism is based on BitChute. Yeah, they had uploaded this. Just
and they're
segment.
Not being ironic, by the way. The Judaism is based account like trolls me.
It's,
and they're just Jews.
Yeah, it's Hasbro.
Yeah.
So they posted this video of Jason Cohen
with his chess piece thing always hanging up on the wall.
Yeah, and it reminds me of Patrick Casey with his little knight, which is the PSYOPs logo.
Yep.
Anyway, no white guilt here, Jason Cohen. He just did about 10 minutes of him talking about how Jew hatred is just so unjustified and works against white
interests.
Basically
compared it to, you're trailer trash if you try to, you know, talk to other white people how it's the Jews. They're not going to listen to you, okay? They're not going to side with some trailer park trash.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, where do you make your money? You sure don't live in a trailer, do you? No, you're making your money somehow, and it's probably not just from your shitty YouTube streams that nobody watches.
Did you see that chart that was released recently? I think it was maybe by the SPLC about...
Yeah, how much money they make?
A bunch of money on
donations?
DLive, or was it Twitch? Or DLive,
yeah.
And so
FedEx was making like 17 grand just off of donations on DLive.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Per year, it seems like.
But okay, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like what some people make in a year, like working their asses off.
So you also had up at the top, I think it was Owen Benjamin was number one.
Yeah, he was number
one. Right behind him was it Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, it was Fuentes.
And then Patrick Casey with a huge amount. Where's Patrick Casey getting $60,000
a
year?
It's probably just a gay bathhouse DLive. That we've never even heard of because we're not gay.
It's probably a way for his paymasters just to easily get money to him.
Yeah, true.
And
then also there was the Ralph Report, which made a bunch.
The retard.
And then below FedEx was Asmodor.
Yeah.
I can't believe that guy is still relevant and has, like, a live stream. I have a DLive account. We've talked about streaming, like, maybe even doing something for New Year's, like, the one time a year we'll actually stream. But it's like, if you live an actual, like, real life and you're not a freaking shill, it's not easy to just, like, set up and stream. Like, where do you do it? When your child's asleep at like 10? I don't know.
Yeah.
When do these people, do they have babysitters? Like how do they even do it?
Lana and Henrik must have a live-in nanny.
They have to. How do you have, she had like a 3-year-old and then a newborn and she's like, here I am back on air. My face didn't change one bit when I was apparently pregnant with 2 children. I'm sorry. No matter how tiny you are, your face changes when you're pregnant. Like your whole, everything changes.
And
she was never pregnant.
By
Let's
the
just
way,
be real here.
Just to make this clear, this Jason Cohen, who says a Jew hatred is never justified.
Jew hatred, calling out the truth, basically.
Yeah.
Let me translate for you.
He, you know, he was using Adam Green as the guy he was, you know, speaking out against. Yes.
On the same team.
So, Jason Cohen is in bed with all of these guys. Always on with Mark Collette.
Mm-hmm.
Always on with people like Red Ice.
Yep.
He's on
the
kill stream with Ethan Ralph, the fat midget, obese midget.
Child groomer.
Yes.
And abuser.
So these people are all tied together.
Yeah.
And
you had HT going on with Ralph.
And I didn't know how much of a clear Jewish shill Jason Cohen was. I knew he was completely suspect.
I knew just from his associations, but I didn't know just how
he, what he looks like and how he talks. You can't only make judgments on what somebody looks like, their mannerisms, and also how they talk. But there was something really off about this guy.
He just looks as if he has a bunch of bodies in his basement. Like he looks like a serial killer. Freaks me out.
The way he smiles. Yeah.
Yes. And remember J.F. Garapi's retarded Jewish girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
The one who claimed that he abused her?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why would
that
she make
really
that
weird.
Up?
That was really weird.
Why would she make that up? I mean, I know she has mental issues.
There's a cat trying
mental retardation. Yeah, she's trying to break into the cat food
The
bag.
Big bag of cat
she's
food.
Such a fatty.
So there...
But, she thought that he had abused her, which I thought was interesting. Maybe
right.
he did. I don't
right,
know.
So... Cohen, No White Guilt, was on JF's show, and JF's girlfriend was just going wild.
Yeah, she was like, you're the one who abused
she
me!
She was hysterical.
Yeah, and he was, like, laughing. They were both just laughing about it.
It's very weird.
Why is that? That's not funny. It's like they just...
She convinced that...
you was the one that abused her... Yeah. I don't know. Oh, what sick individuals. I think J.F. Garapi was up there on that DLive list as well.
Probably. I haven't seen much from him recently.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't really check up
on
him.
Well, I check BitChute.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen a whole lot of
BitChute
his videos.
BitChute sucks. By the way, if you try to search my channel in their search, it doesn't even come up anymore. Handsome Truth. This does. No problem. Yeah, I mean, you can search, like, for my videos, but if you search by channel, my channel just doesn't exist anymore.
It's just ridiculous how Cohen would use Jew hatred. Do you know that...
Jew hatred.
Actually, the Jews are rebranding anti-Semitism.
Into Jew hatred.
What this article is talking about is how they're rebranding anti-Semitism into anti-Jewish hatred. Or anti-Jewish racism, rather.
Yeah. That's because everyone kept saying, we don't hate Arabs, you're not Semites, so shut up.
In wake of a damning report on the British Labour Party's anti-Semitism problems, term is nearly absent from organizations' reactions, but anti-Jewish racism abounds. It's an article from the Times of Israel talking about how people just didn't understand what anti-Semitism really meant. It just wasn't, it wasn't having its intended effect upon the minds of the goyim.
Yeah.
So they're switching to... anti-Jewish racism, because they've been harping on about racism is the biggest evil for so long. Now they're saying, we gotta make sure that people understand that we're victims of racism.
So you're not allowed to criticize us for anything. That's racism. Did you see the comments for this Jason Cohen guy? Like, did his followers agree with him? Or were they, saying...
Oh, I don't
know.
That's
not right.
Well, on the Judaism is Base channel.
Oh, it's just a clip.
Yeah.
But isn't he still on YouTube?
Probably.
And he has his whole Born Guilty book. They all have their books. Like, they all have their books published on Amazon. And, you can definitely buy them on Amazon. They haven't been taken down like all the other revisionist material. They all just... it's like such a formula. They come up out of nowhere. Oh, I'm selling a book. Oh, I'm going on Red Ice. Oh, listen to my stupid live streams. They all just follow the same book.
Speaking about... anti-Jew hatred. We have this this guy Arthur Topham. I don't know if I trust him. He's associated.
No, he's married
Canadian.
To a Jewess.
He's married
so
to a Jewess.
Why would you trust him?
I don't. Okay. he's associated with Paul Fromm. You know, the guy with the zipper speedo thing.
The zipper speedo guy. Yeah.
And also the Schaeffers and everything. Don't trust the Canadian in general. There are a few exceptions,
We've been burned by the Canadians, okay?
But anyway, this story is insane. You know, he's been going to war with the B'nai B'rith up there. Mm-hmm. They've been attacking him in the courts and everything because he's posted some things online and whatever. So they ruled that he cannot publish or otherwise, publicly communicate the word Jew for the next 3 years. For 3 years.
They banned him from saying Jew for 3 years.
He's not even able to basically publish about anybody who is Jewish, even if he doesn't label them as being
Jews. Can he call his wife a Jew?
No. He can mention his wife, but he can't mention her ethnicity. This is part of the ruling.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Yep. He was forbidden from publishing or publicly posting information about persons of Jewish religion or ethnic origin. And also, he's sentenced to a 30-day conditional sentence and 3 years of probation. There's something about booze. Oh, yeah. He's prohibited from having weapons, liquor, or alcohol.
Liquor or alcohol. That doesn't make any damn sense.
Liquor or beer, I guess.
Yeah, but they should have just said alcohol.
I wonder if, you know, beer is what... Liquor is what's going to win this for us. Just get people to go Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Get all wasted and be like, it's the Jews!
It's the goddamn Jews behind all the wars. The wars of the world.
Okay, is this Alexa thing true? Like, did Alexa really say that the Jews own the financial system, or...
It could have just been that they didn't properly program it.
Okay.
You know, so it's just pulling from the most relevant articles to answer the question. So-and-so says that the Jews are behind this and that and the other
funny.
Thing.
I just saw that
It could just be another Tay AI thing. Just to just show, hey guys, we really need to do something about this.
But you'd think if they hadn't programmed it out of these thinking machines, like the thinking machines would come to the same conclusion.
Of course.
Yeah, it's the Jews.
I'm sorry, I cannot answer that question.
Yeah. We tried asking the Alexa at my parents' house a few questions, and that's usually the answer we got. I can't find anything about that.
Are white people being genocided? I'm sorry. That is a crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Cooked up by bigots and racists
much.
Nazis. Are you one? Should I alert the local police?
Yeah.
That's where it's going to be headed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also, of course, the monitoring with all these devices about whether or not you're coughing a certain way.
Yep.
Oh, that's a COVID cough.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane that people willingly let these listening devices into their houses. Everything we have in our house could listen to us. But it's not explicitly built to do so.
Right, like an Alexa.
Which is supposed to always be listening to you. That's, you know, part of its role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's an interesting little story about Arthur Topham. That's what we can all expect if we don't do anything about this. Even here in America, we're supposed to have free speech because they've been passing so much legislation that goes right against the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And it's all about... You know, redefining anti-Semitism and ensuring that, you know, we rout out the anti-Semites.
Yeah. They're scared.
Death penalty for the haters.
They're definitely scared, though. Like, they had to ban him from saying the word Jew for 3 years. That's just hilarious that was even, like, discussed with a straight face in a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, you've been banned from writing the J word for 3 years. And then after the 3 years are up, you can only mention us when it's to compliment us.
Oh, yeah.
Or to... tell everybody that you're sorry.
If the AI detects sarcasm when you thank the Jews.
Did you sarcastically just thank the Jews?
No, I meant it.
They're probably just going to totally ban thanking the Jews as well.
You can't
thank us because that wasn't authentic.
It was such a brilliant tactic. When that guy called into the BBC radio, remember?
Yes.
And he was just talking about, I just love everything they've been doing for us. You know, they're just so overrepresented in these, you know, the... different council seats, you know, this person, that person. Oh, the radio. They just happen to be Jewish. No, but they're doing a great job. You know, I need to
listen to that again. More people need to do that. Black propaganda, you know, just like pretend that you're thanking them. And take it really seriously. Like, no, I really appreciate all of this. You guys you're behind everything. And if it weren't for you... where would we be?
They're behind the COVID vaccines.
We'd be speaking German right now. It would be terrible.
I published an article about how the Jerusalem Post, I think it was just coming right out and saying, Jews are behind the COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
They're proud of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about German, this article reminded me about East Germany. This was from maybe a week and a half ago or something. And it's something I've talked about. I don't necessarily disagree with this idea, but it just reminded me of what life seemed to be like in East Germany. Retailers cut back on choices. We don't need three types of red. So Bed Bath & Beyond, Kohl's, and other Kohl styles? I don't know what that means. Oh, and others, Kohl styles, to combat decision paralysis.
You can't read right.
Unclog supply chains and reduce end of season markdowns. So basically, they're getting rid of a lot of different choices. So you might have, whereas you had five different choices for can opener, now it's just one or two. You know, and I don't necessarily disagree with this. I feel
if
like
it works well, and it's right. not a piece of garbage.
But doesn't that remind you of what it was like with the in East Germany under Soviet rule?
Yeah, it does.
With
yep.
there really only being one or two yeah. options,
yeah.
and then they just got flooded with all these choices yep. afterwards.
And I mean, either or is not what I want. You know, there are two extremes. It's either like ridiculous capitalism, where you get like 50 choices of garbage candy. You know, or you get like your ration of chocolate mm-hmm. for the other side. I think there's a happy middle ground there where people can produce different options for consumers, but not in a wasteful manner in producing garbage.
It does really get hard sometimes. Back when we used to go into supermarkets.
Yeah, back when we used to go to stores.
When you've got, you know, eight different brands selling yeah. the same thing, and they're all relatively priced the same with very similar ingredients, pretty much exactly the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, I think it's great how much choice that we do have now, especially with the internet. Now people can buy products like from Heathen Herbs. But yeah. there really are so many different choices that were never available when I was growing up, and I do think that it is great. Because think if you were going to get a chocolate bar. Back when we were growing up, it was Nestle's or Hershey's or, you know, if you want to get fancy, it was the Toblerone. But there really weren't all that many kinds of just chocolate bars. Of course, there were the candy bars or the, you know, peanut butter cups and the Butterfingers and mm-hmm. Snickers and Mars and everything. But now we have so many healthier options because I do think that the consciousness of people has changed.
Yeah, it definitely has.
And now they have to market to people mm-hmm. and provide more options.
Yeah, even just, like, we were able to find biodegradable saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where would I go buy that at a store? You know?
Right.
There's not, like, a natural store around here. The city sucks. We have to travel a good deal to find, like, a health store. So, that is nice, yes. But I do just miss being able to go into a store and, like, try on a pair of jeans, you know? Like, I hate trying to shop for clothes.
Or just the Publix was right down the way.
Yeah.
It'd be so easy. You just need an ingredient. I'll make yeah. a quick trip to the store, yeah. grab a free cup of coffee. But they even got rid of that. You know, even before they required masks, they got rid of the free cup of coffee because mm-hmm. you could be spreading germs.
Yeah, they closed down the water fountains. It's just so stupid. So stupid.
Yes, the world has become quite retarded.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally retarded.
Yeah.
And I see so many retarded people in it now. I guess I just didn't know how retarded they were beforehand.
Until
they
put masks on.
But then when I see people riding a bike down the street wearing a mask, or by themselves in a car wearing a yeah. mask with the windows up,
yeah.
I realize, damn, we're in a dire situation here.
Mm-hmm. We definitely are.
Well, we're pretty much out of time. So if there's anything you wanted to say about Heathen Herbs, I know you yeah. put some items on sale.
I have an eye cream now, so it's a coffee-infused olive oil as the base, and it's got cocoa butter, shea butter, rosehip seed oil, jojoba oil, vitamin E, and chamomile essential oil, bergamot essential oil, and vanilla essential oil. It smells really good, and coffee, the acids that are in it are really good for your skin. So usually an eye cream is for putting on at night, or you can do it in the morning too, but to help with redness, you know, fine lines, puffiness, all that good stuff. The skin around your eyes is really sensitive, so it's important to use a good moisturizer around there. And also, we have the Yule gift boxes that are available. So those are $30. They come, you know, with the box and the wrapping on the inside, a bow, and
You're good.
Is the music coming in?
Yeah, just wanted to mention with the gift boxes, if you do get more than two. We're going to have to ship the items separately because they're not going to fit into the flat rate box.
They don't fit in the box properly when they're, like, all wrapped up. But all you would have to do is literally just put the shavings in there, put the items in there.
You got it.
You got it.
Fun little project.
Yeah, so those are $30. You get a lot of cool stuff in there. It's actually a good little discount. You can see most of those items in the box, so you get a gift wrap and a discount. Eventually, I'm going to come out with a special for a bundle deal for airline, so be looking out for that. Get your Yule presents while you can. We also have a bunch of new items on sale on the sale page. So I have like the The elderberry tincture, the colloidal silver, a bunch of immune boosting stuff. Also, our iodine is on sale, $2 off, so get it while you can.
Awesome. Should be fulfilling orders this week, I'm sure, as people listen to the show.
Yes, I'm ready. Bring it on.
You're very busy.
Yep.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming out to the garage.
How do you now see the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
For the next few seconds, you'll hear nothing but the sounds of a farmer walking through a field of oats. These sounds are brought to you by Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Bread. You see, life on a farm moves at its own pace, because everything we're doing takes time. That's why our bakers slow bake our farmhouse oatmeal bread with thoughtful care, so our famous farmhouse taste is baked into every slice. Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Oatmeal Bread. Slow is good.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
KD Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmor.com. CATIarmor.com. Come and take it.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
Thanks for listening to Project Schoolyard Volume 2. For more information about the project, as well as lyrics to the songs on this CD, please visit www.tightrope.cc. You can also find jokes, news articles, a photo gallery, free CD downloads, and a secure online shopping cart. We carry a full line of flags, t-shirts, CDs, books, stickers, and other products of interest to racially conscious white people. Please visit www.tightrope.cc.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.